I appreciate the opportunity to bring a report to the council here this morning, and thank you for your time. We do have a great media team, approximately 30 employees altogether involved in some way in our media efforts, whether it's from answering the mail or sending out the mail, whether it's writing or editing, 30 to 35 employees. I haven't counted them up in a while, but a very good team that do great work. We really do have a good department. And there are some exciting opportunities ahead for us in preaching the gospel of God's kingdom to the world, as never before in human history. And so that's very, very exciting and encouraging to know. This morning I want to just bring two or three items to you as an update. It's impossible to try and cover everything, and if you have questions, we can answer them as we go along. If there's something I haven't covered that you'd like to hear about later, we can do that as that too. But I just chose a few things to highlight. And, of course, some of our writers are here today on the council, whether it's Mr. Trabig or Mr. Ashley, Mr. McNeely. Even you gentlemen contribute to our media efforts. So it's a team effort for sure. Not just the full-time media department employees, but other elders and writers and members that are involved in the work that we're doing. Plans are in January to go color with United News. Elizabeth Cannon, who is our managing editor, has been working with Sean Venish to upgrade our section graphics, the main masthead, so that we can go color beginning in January. And it's not going to cost us anything more. We're going to a slightly less expensive paper and then adding color, and the bottom line is about the same. Many years ago, to go color on a newspaper or a booklet or a publication cost you quite a bit extra, but it really doesn't today. The increase in cost is nominal and very manageable. So watch for that in January if all goes as planned. Sean is still designing the graphics and updating to color for us, but if all goes as planned, January United News will be in color. So that's a nice little bonus for the brethren as they read our in-house church newspaper with, of course, news items as well as some helpful articles and doctrinal material as well. Moving to another subject, Las Buenas Noticias, our Spanish language good news magazine, Las Buenas Noticias. We have undertaken an advertising campaign just through the month of November to gain some additional subscribers for the magazine. Our subscription list was right around 9 to 10,000, down from an earlier 20,000. We were not able to gather all of the subscriber addresses from the past, but ended up with about 10,000 from Latin America and the U.S. and a few in Europe as well, like Spain. So we undertook an advertising campaign in November on Google, and we added 10,000 more subscribers in about 14 days. Went very, very fast. Let me share a report with you. I've got several things to share with you today, but go ahead and just pass these on down. This is a snapshot of our Google advertising for Las Buenas Noticias for November 1 through November 30. We didn't actually start the ads until the second week of November. And then, as you see on the graph on the chart, we then had to taper off once we reached that 10,000. Our goal was 10,000 subscribers to add to the 10 we had, for a total of 20,000 Las Buenas Noticias subscribers. So you can see the impressions and the conversions on the chart there. Two text ads were running. You see the two text ads there on the left, the middle of the page, and the results across. 37 million impressions of our ad. And this shows a total of 9380 subscribers. That is not the complete list. There's actually a few more than that. It went over 10,000, close to 11,000. Donna Surratt is the one responsible now for importing these 10,000 addresses. It'll take her a month to do it because people make mistakes and everything has to be checked and verified as the addresses are imported into the system. But this gives you an idea of what we did on Google to bring up our Las Buenas Noticias subscription list. And when people click on one of those ads, one of those text ads, this is the page that they're taken to. It's very similar to the English Good News ad on Google and Yahoo and Bing and MSN, offering them a free subscription to Las Buenas Noticias for themselves or for a friend. And, of course, it's all in Spanish. Mr. Segley can probably read what it says. Hopefully we don't have too many mistakes in there. But it has been vetted by our Spanish language editors. But this is the page that they're taken to, and then once they click on further, they put in the rest of their address and name information. We received most of the subscribers to this campaign from Mexico, Colombia, Chile, Argentina, and Bolivia. Those were the top countries from Latin America that responded. Mexico was the top one, followed by Colombia. So, Mr. Holliday, did you have your hand up for a second?
Yes. Why do you think there was such a high response, or is this a high response?
Yeah.
14 days, 10,000.
Yeah, it is a high response. We find, and have for decades, that when we advertise something for free in the third world, that we get very quick response. And so that's why we had to manage this carefully, then taper it off once we receive what we wanted. The cost per response was, right around 83 cents overall, which is about half a normal cost per response in the English language advertising. So, but that's just what happens, whether it's India or Asia. Very quick responses. Mr. Dean?
Well, I'm not so sure I would call all these countries third world anymore.
They're not all, no.
And also, since it's electronic and media, you're talking people that are a little more affluent and connected.
Yes, that's a good clarifying point. Not all Latin America is third world. Much of it is, but it's not all. Yeah. We've also found that there are some subscribers that were obviously on the list before that wondered what happened and are now back on the list after seeing the ad, too. We have seen a little bit of that. Yeah. So. But the magazine, Las Buenas Noticias, has continued to come out bi-monthly as before. And so we're very thankful for that. Let me give you an overview for our Google advertising as a whole. Here's one more chart for you. We advertise on Google and Yahoo and the Microsoft Advertising Network, or Bing now as it's called. Bing and Yahoo just merged a little while ago. And so now we're advertising just with Google and Bing, or Google and MSN, now that Yahoo and them have merged. You'll see here at Google we're running four campaigns. The top two you see, campaign one and campaign number three, are in English. Campaign number four is Spanish, the one that we just ran, and campaign number two is French. So that's what we're advertising right now at Google. This chart, these results are for the last 12 months. You'll see at the top it says December 2009 to December 2010. You see the spike at the end in conversions, on the chart there. That's the Spanish advertising we did in November. That's quite a spike there. The total number then of responses was 70,781 for the year, of which 552 were French, 10,000 some were Spanish, and about 60,000 in English. for an overall cost per response of $2.35 and 639 million impressions. Some years we've gone over a billion impressions of our ads, 639 this year. You'll notice at the beginning of the chart, which would be round about January, February, the number of conversions, the blue line, is high, and then it drops and goes lower. The reason for that sudden decline last January, February, is that we canceled all of our advertising outside of the United States because of budgetary restraints. And we cut back on advertising and paying for the ads for Australia, Canada, England, South Africa, you know, the rest of the world. We cut out back in January, February because of budget restraints. And so you'll see then a decline in conversions then for the remainder of the year. We have recently added Australia back in as of December 1. Our good new subscription level is now down to quite a low level. Recall a year ago that we started an annual renewal program instead of a biannual renewal program. And so our subscription numbers, our print run's gone from about 550,000 down to about 350,000. And so now with the lower print run, we're able to increase our advertising a little bit more now, and we started with Australia. Also, Eastern Europe, we started advertising in Eastern Europe as well, in VicCubic's area. And as we can, we'll start to add some other areas back in, especially as they show a desire or a wish to do that. But so that's Google for the last 12 months. And then one more chart here for you. This shows the top booklet requests at Google. Once again, for the last 12 months, the top booklet requested is our Ten Commandments booklet. And of those, in the last 12 months, we had 14,600 requests at an average cost of $2.54. Then you see the second one on the list is Las Buenas Noticias, obviously because of the big campaign we just undertook. But under that is You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, The Church Jesus Built, and then the Good News Magazine. When someone clicks on a Good News Magazine ad, they're offered a one-year subscription and then they have to renew. But also, when someone requests any of these other booklets, they are offered a sample issue of the Good News as well. We used to send them a free subscription for a whole year. We don't do that anymore unless they specifically request the Good News from the Good News ad. But if they request a booklet now, we don't automatically send them a good news subscription. We send them a sample issue. It's got a cover app on it, and then they return the card if they like what they see, and then they can get a full subscription. And this is a better way to get more qualified subscribers, rather than just having them automatically get a whole year. Mr. McNeely?
Peter, is that a postage-paid card, or do they have to...
They have to put a stamp on it. They have to put a stamp on that card. There's a letter from the president inside offering them this a free subscription, saying this is just a sample copy, and then they can have a full subscription if they want to.
Are we doing that on Beyond Today as well? Is that the approach we have with Beyond
Today? No, with Beyond Today, because we're showing them what they're getting, we're flipping through it, and showing them what's in the magazine, that is a one-year subscription on Beyond Today. They do have to renew after on their fourth issue out of the six. There's a renewal option.
Is it a special version of the Good News? Or is it just a routine?
Yes, it's a special version. It's the same content as the gift copy and also the special edition that people get when they first subscribe. Because it could be up to 2 months before somebody gets their first copy. So we immediately send them the special edition. And this is what is used for this as well. Except instead of a gift copy cover wrap or a special edition cover wrap, it has the sample issue cover wrap. We have three different cover wraps of this special edition. And so it's a sampling, a spectrum of what people would find in the Good News over time.
Do we ever update that special edition?
We do. Mr. Ashley could probably comment more on that, but it is fairly static. But things do change from time to time. Do you have any comment on that, Mr. Ashley?
Yes, we update it periodically. Because of the time factor that Peter mentioned, it needs to be timeless articles, not current news analysis and so on. So there's articles in there. I call it kind of a greatest hits issue, if you will, as articles on child rearing, on family, on prayer, on several on prophecy, one on what is the kingdom of God, that sort of thing. So it's kind of a cross section, about 8, 9, 10 different articles that are timeless in nature. So because they are fairly timeless, we don't have an urgent need to update it every time. But when, for instance, we get a better article on a particular subject, then occasionally we'll swap out one or two of the articles, change around some of the graphics sometimes.
Thank you. At the top of the second page on this list of top requested booklets, you'll see Holidays or Holidays, shall we say, anti-Christmas ad. We're finding more and more churches requesting our booklets to use in teaching their congregations. We get requests every week for bulk copies of our Ten Commandments booklet. And other church groups, youth leaders, other ministries use our Ten Commandments booklet as a teaching tool in their classes and in their Bible studies for their congregations. The other one that is requested the second most is the church that Jesus built. Other pastors in other churches want to use this in teaching their congregations about the church. And when this is a real high-level endorsement, when someone else's pastor says, read these booklets from the United Church of God and let's study them in our Bible study on Wednesday night, that's a very high-level endorsement. We just got a request on Thursday from a church leader who's going to be giving presentations at 4 different Presbyterian churches next week and asked for 200 copies of our Holidays or Holidays booklet because he's going to be exposing the fallacies about Christmas in 4 different Presbyterian churches. And so, each year we send out thousands of booklets for this purpose, for other churches to use in instructing their members. And our requirement is that they use the entire booklet, that they hand out the entire booklet. They can't cut and paste or use parts of it. And, of course, in their office to other pieces of our literature. And it's a very good exposure to the church. And it gives us credibility in their mind when their own pastor says, read this material from the United Church of God. The Church Jesus Built, the Ten Commandments booklet, and our Holidays or Holidays booklet would be the most requested ones. And every week we get requests, and they usually run by my desk for approval because they're often large quantities. We'll send also people that want to have them for their family and friends, maybe 3 or 4 copies. But other times it's 50, 60, or up to 200. And I feel this is a very good use of our material. I really do, even though sometimes they're in larger quantities. Let me share with you the responses for Beyond Today. Yeah, go ahead.
The U.S. and Britain's not listed there. Is that because we don't?
It's off the bottom of the chart.
Pardon?
This is not everything. There's 4 pages to this, and this is just the top 2 pages.
Okay.
The U.S. and Britain gets minimal responses right now. And it's on the middle of page 3, I believe, from what I recall. Today?
We run the same number of ads for each one, or is there a column here that tells us how many times a particular ad was run? Or
it's the impressions column, which is the third set of numbers, the big ones. That's how many times the ad shows up on a page. And it depends on what someone is searching for as far as search advertising, but here also is content advertising, where our ads show up on pages where there's already a particular subject being discussed and someone's not necessarily doing a search for that keyword. Mr. Barron?
Peter, I haven't recently looked at the booklets, but when we sell a bulk shipment of booklets like this, does each booklet have a very clear manner in which people could go back to UGG.org, for example?
Oh, yes.
It's within each booklet itself.
Yes. Yeah, inside the back cover there's a section, if you'd like to know more.
Yeah.
It talks about the church, gives
that's
the website addresses, offers additional booklets and materials.
That's in each booklet, pretty well?
Yes,
yeah.
In every booklet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
Here's a spreadsheet of Beyond Today responses since we began on WGN in July. The total number of responses where someone actually requested a booklet or the Good News magazine is just right of center where it says total responses, 13,116 so far. And of course, this is good through the end of November. The last two programs are not included on this yet. I'll get a report probably later today from John LeBissonnaire on last weekend's. And then, of course, yesterday's. I don't have any results for yesterday's yet because we get the results for the whole rest of the week as well. But 13,116 total responses. The Rapture, Fact or Fiction, which is number 20 on the program count, was by far our best response so far. The right-hand section looks at just the WGN responses so that we can analyze our cost per response. You'll see the telephone responses and the web responses for WGN, and then you'll see the website visitors. And what we do is we track how many people go to beyondtoday.tv while the program is airing. And we count that as a response when someone is watching the program and goes online to check us out. And then many of them then request a booklet that's being offered online. Some just read and browse further. And so for the Rapture program, we added up a total of 1,145 responses on WGN for a total cost response of $10.48. Somebody was mentioning the program on... it was on the Elders Forum, yes. Fred Callas was mentioning he appreciated the program on the Holy Days that aired 2 weeks ago. And the responses were quite good, and it's a repeat. Blueprint for Salvation was what it was called, focusing on the Holy Days, and in particular the return of Christ and the meaning of the Feast of Trumpets. But we are finding that our audience is appreciating some doctrinal material, some material that they don't hear elsewhere on other Sunday morning programs, you know, to speak of. And our audience, in a half hour, you can really start to teach people something. And they're learning when they watch a half-hour program. And so when they request a Good News or a booklet, they're coming along in the truth and in understanding. We're also seeing a growth in our audience. The first time the Raptor program aired, we ended up with counting 959 responses as a result of WGN, up to 1,145 the second time it aired. Obviously, those first 900 people aren't going to request it again. They've already got the booklet. So this is an additional 1,145 people beyond those who requested it the first time. So our audience is growing, and that's encouraging to see. There are no Nielsen ratings for Sunday morning religious broadcasting time. So it's difficult to know the size of the audience. But based on some previous stats that we had for Good News Radio, and based on what's happening in Canada and some of their results, at the moment I'm estimating that we have between 1 million and 1.2 million people possibly watching us on Sunday morning. Could be upwards of 1 million people to 1.2 million. But that means that 1 in 1,700 people are responding. So looking at that some more, That's not a hard and fast figure, but we hope to get some more audience data if we can and try and figure out approximately how many people are watching. Any questions about Beyond Today, Mr. Blackwell?
Do we know what the demographics of WGN are? Is it mostly an older audience? Is it pretty much, do we have any figures on that? Or anything? We've got to reach all the way from young to old, so I'm not questioning. Yeah. I'm just wondering.
The audience we have are pretty much the Sunday morning church crowd, and our time slot of 8:30 Eastern is a good time because a lot of families are getting ready for church. And so I believe the audience we have are those who normally go to church on Sunday morning. So in that, you'll have some long-time faithful churchgoers, but also some families with kids, too, that go to church on Sunday morning. So I believe that there's a smattering of demographics, but probably leaning towards a baby boomer generation overall.
Well, I watched it watched WGN on occasion of other times, and a lot of what they have are... reason I watch it, some of the things they have on rerun are shows that I enjoy. You know.
Mm. Yeah, some of the old sitcoms and things like
right,
that. Yeah.
But I would say it's mostly the baby boomer generation, but there would be some families, younger families in there as well. It's pretty much the Sunday morning church going crowd. That prompted a thought. Saw a report just a couple of weeks ago that the biggest contributors to churches right now are the baby boomers. Baby boomers are the biggest financial contributors to churches in general. Young people will make a donation to a church, but they're not usually committed for the long term. They'll go online, they'll make a donation. It's like a cause for a little while. At a cause that they will get behind for a short time. Whereas older people tend to then stick with a charity once they begin supporting it. Young people tend to flit around the different ones. So just a few thoughts. And Mr. Barron.
You know, I see you have the combination of the United States and Canada in here is in the calculation. How does that affect, or how is that affecting the cost for response? Does it include Canada in that part or not?
This is just for WGN. It includes those who saw WGN in Canada. That we've marked that as a WGN response. If someone calls during the program and they saw it on WGN in Canada, on Vision and Grace Television in Canada, it airs at a different time. So we know then to count those ones differently, and the Canadian office counts those ones as their responses.
Your report says it includes the telephone responses from Vision as well. Vision in Canada.
Yes, that's in the center section here, not the right hand section where it's just WGN. We've pulled WGN out on the side to try and see what our responses are just for WGN and make sure it's being cost effective. The center section does include Vision. In Canada, yes. And cable access TV throughout the rest of the week as well. Now that WGN is airing in most cities in the U.S., we made the offer to our cable access sponsors to cancel out if they wanted to. It's a lot of work at the office in making hundreds of extra copies, VHS, mini DVs, DVDs, for the cable access stations across the country. So we made the offer a short while ago that if any sponsors wanted to drop out, now that it's already on in their city on WGN, they could. And we had over 100 sponsors cancel out, but we had 25 that said, no, we want to still do it. We don't mind the extra work and time. We still want to do it. And so we are making the files available for download as well so that we don't even have to send a DVD to some areas trying to save money. But 25 sponsors said, no, we still want to air the program, even though it's on WGN in our town. There are a couple of cities where it's not available easily on WGN, so they obviously wanted to keep it on there. So,
yeah. Roy?
Could you comment on the financing for WGN program? I think there's some confusion. in people's mind where the money's coming from.
The 2010-2011 budget that was approved at the General Conference of Elders in May of this year included almost $500,000 for broadcast airtime. It was already in the budget. The cost on WGN is a little bit higher than that, but we have additional funds available in our internet advertising budget that will not be used. There was some subcontract work that may have been undertaken that plan changed. So we have some funds in our internet advertising that will make up the difference for our WGN costs. But this was all in the budget to begin with. This was not outside of what was agreed upon back in May. Yeah, if that answers it. Is that what you're thinking?
Right.
Yeah, so. Okay, Mr. Eddington.
There was talk of WGN offering us a better time in some part of the country.
Yeah.
Has anything developed there?
Yes, there was talk of what's called a dual feed for the West Coast, where instead of being simulcast across the country all at the same time, making it 5:30 a.m. on the West Coast, there was talk of a dual feed where they air your program at 8:30 local time. WGN finally made a decision on that and decided not to go with a dual feed. And so we still be on at 5:30 on the West Coast. We have started exploring a couple of opportunities on the West Coast that look quite reasonable, but we don't have it in this fiscal year. Unless there's a windfall of finances for some reason, we don't have the funding to add an additional station on the West Coast right now. But there are a couple of interesting options. One is what would be termed a superstation out of San Francisco. It's a sports station that airs up and down the West Coast on cable and satellite that does allow paid programming on Sunday mornings, and they have a big audience. So that's one option, and there's some others. So maybe next fiscal year, if budget permits, we can do that, because it would be good to get on a later time on the West Coast. We're getting notes from people, though, that DVR the program on the West Coast. They set their DVR. They apparently found out about it or read it about it in the Good News magazine on the back page, and so they DVR it, and they watch it later on Sunday at their convenience. But we do get calls from California at 5:30 a.m. on a Sunday morning. People are watching the program. These are not church members. We get hundreds of calls from the West Coast. So it's not like there's no response at all. And I'm not sure if these people are up early or if they just haven't gone to bed yet. But who knows? Yeah. Robin
would. John today. I've
caught that. Mr. Holliday.
This really has nothing to do with it, but it's a question I've had over the years. Does a program do better at the top of the hour or the bottom? In other words, at 8 o'clock as opposed to 8:30, as far as a time slot, as people watching. Do they tend to tune in at on the hour more than they do at the bottom?
With prime time programming, yes. It's the top of the hour. It's usually the prime spot. In the evenings. Sunday morning, when people are getting ready for church, it may not matter a whole lot. But a prime time network programming, yes, they try to put it at the top of the hour. And that runs for the hour. The other thing is that after about a half hour, if people aren't liking what they watch, they start flipping around, too. So, but I don't have anything scientific on that. I'm sorry.
I'm curious as to how much we might be affected by the program that precedes us. If it was a kind of a dynamic, popular program, would we have more overspill into our program?
Yeah.
Because what precedes us is not in that category.
Yes.
It is important to try and get a good lead out. It's good if the program before you has good ratings, because that will help you. So the program before us, like you said, is not real dynamic or catchy. That can affect our initial response or initial impact, yes. Yeah, it's good to try and get a good lead out when you're booking airtime. I think it was Jimmy Swaggart that was on after us at 9 o'clock Eastern. He canceled out after decades on the air. And so now there's paid programming of another type on at 9 o'clock. But we looked into getting the 9 o'clock slot, and it was twice the price, just a half hour later. Yeah. So we've been blessed with the 8:30 slot, I really feel. And at, what, $10.48 for the Rapture program, our goal was $10. And we're getting awfully close now to $10 cost per response. We started at around $25 and then $20, and then we broke $20 and got $19 and we were thrilled. But now we're down close to our goal of $10 cost per response. To put that in perspective, the last Reader's Digest ad that was run about 18 months ago was about $12 cost per response. Up in Canada, they consistently get $12 cost per response to their Reader's Digest ads. So we're doing better than our last Reader's Digest ad now. Now, some Reader's Digest ads have gotten closer to $6 cost per response. That would be more the norm for RD, would be $6. Of course, the Internet is our least expensive option, around $2 to $3 cost per response. But we find that those who order the literature online are the least likely to renew their subscription. We find that those who respond to a Reader's Digest ad, which is a little more expensive, cost per response, or to TV, which is a higher cost per response, are the most likely to renew their subscription. Because I think when you watch a half-hour program, you know what you're getting now when you order your subscription. And you can watch it for several weeks in a row before you call in. So the Internet is our least likely customer to renew. Television and print advertising like Reader's Digest is the most likely to renew. They're our highest responders. Mr. Baker.
Peter, is there a way, since people are subscribing to a booklet or a magazine, is there a way that when they click on the ad, they could also go directly to our website and actually see the magazine and booklet, and that would save us money in postage?
Yes, and we're doing that. We started with our booklets about 6 months ago. Paul Wasselkoff and Aaron Booth have written a script where when someone responds to one of these Google ads, they put in their address information and their email address, and when it goes to the success screen, it says, we're going to send you this booklet, but if you'd like to read it right now, click here and we'll email it to you right now, and you'll have a PDF in your inbox, and you can read it immediately. And we're finding, I think, Chris, are you up on those figures? Yeah, because I'm just trying to recall, I believe it was around 10 to 15% said, send it to me now. And so, yes, we save on the printing and the mailing costs. And we're doing that with our booklets, and we're going to expand it soon to the Good News magazine as well. And so they'll automatically get a download into their inbox. They have to provide their email address to do that. And of course, when we have their email address, then we try and get them to sign up for other things too, like good news updates or whatever. But yeah, we've just started that 10 to 15%. In fact, we're going to have a meeting with Paul Wasikoff about this to get the exact figures and look at the reporting on it. And the meeting keeps getting postponed, but I'm hoping to next week look at those figures for real. But yeah. So two things to save money. One is we send people just a sample issue of the Good News and they have to return the card if they really want it. And secondly, we are offering a digital download of booklets. Right. Okay.
Are you comfortable with the panel-type presentation that we're using with BT?
The first two segments are generally one presenter, and then the third segment is often a panel presentation. Not always, just the third segment. I am, yes. We get mixed reactions both ways. Some people write in, and I have letters, saying that we just love the panel discussion at the end with the back and forth between the three presenters. Others say they preferred it with just one guy looking at them in the camera and talking to them. Others say, I love it when you go on location and, you know, do an interview outside or you go to the cemetery or something like that. So it's a mixed reaction on all levels.
When you watch in at the other churches of God television they still using just the one stand-up guy?
Pretty much. Mostly.
Or sit down, literally.
Or sit down.
Yeah.
Yeah. But giving a little bit of variety from program to program, we're not. It gives a break to the eyes, too, when it's a different setup, the next segment. And it hopefully appeals to different people in our audience by breaking up it a little bit. But we're not locked into any particular exact format per se. We have recorded entire presentations off-site. Gary Petty did some interviews in Texas just recently that will be on Beyond Today, talking to some people that lived in the Middle East about the Arab-Israeli conflict. So we're not locked into any one thing every single program. Now, we interviewed Melvin outside the office for one segment. So we're open to morphing and changing depending on the subject and how it works. So, Mr. Rhodes?
Yeah, I always marvel that the three presenters, when they're in a panel format, can talk about any subject. And they must record, what, two or three programs a day? So they change from one subject to another. And I think it's very good. I really enjoy that segment.
Good. Thanks.
In January, Darris McNeely will be in Hungary and in Vienna. He's actually managed to score a free trip, basically. It's not going to cost the church much of anything. And so I'm going to go along for a few days, and we're going to record two Beyond Today programs in Budapest and in Vienna. One will be about Europe in prophecy, and one will be about Islam in prophecy. And so that will break up the visuals again. We'll come back into the studio in February to tie it all together from the desk and explain what's going on, and then we'll show the on-location vignettes. So that's another thing. Some of our young fellows are really doing a good job. When you look at Rudy Rangel and Jamie Schreiber and Clint Porter and, of course, Clay Thornton, if you watch some of the programs and just look at the little nuances with the graphics and the way they come off and on the screen, the scripture backgrounds, the charts and timelines, Clint Porter just did a really good timeline from the book of Daniel of the four beasts and those four empires and when they came and went. And it's really good. I mean, these are, when you look at Sunday morning program, we are way above the average with our presentation. It's a very professionally produced program. Mr. Rhodes, I think that's about it. Let me just hand out some 2011 and 2012 calendars for your planning purposes, the church calendars. There's 2011, and here's 2012, because as future meetings are planned, council meetings, you can pencil them in and know what's going on. And in the back, I have the giant-sized 2011 wall calendars. If you would like one, I've got a roll of them back there. The big wall size, 2011. And at the office, I have wall size 2012. If you really want one of those, I can get one of those as well, if you need it ahead of time. So thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the opportunity to bring an update to the council. And I'll turn the meeting back to you.